This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Merry winter solstice, all you sun worshippers and happy heathens. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the December 15th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. Our show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. This show's podcast and broadcast also in Grand Rapids and in Monterey and in Ithaca, New York, and in Columbia, Missouri, and in other places around the country. And, of course, we podcast.
And, of course, next Friday, December 21st, will be the shortest, darkest day of 2012, and that is the winter solstice, signaling the return of the sun and the natural new year and celebrated for millennia in the Northern Hemisphere because it's a natural, astronomical event and holiday, and we'll talk more about that in segment two.
It's the birth of the sun, then.
S-U-N. And we are also going to celebrate the winter solstice, the second annual Freedom from Religion Foundation confab and concert at the Wisconsin State Capitol, noon to one. And this time we're going to try the GAR room in the fourth floor north because the acoustics were kind of wild in the rotunda, but you can look for Dan, you'll be performing, and Ken Longquist, and we'll have treats.
And that'll be on Friday on the winter solstice itself.
And we will be collecting donated food for Second Harvest or donations for the Women's Medical Fund.
At what time on Friday?
Noon to one.
From noon to one.
Be there at noon if you want to hear it, the concert.
Our show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we're a membership organization with two purposes. The first purpose is to keep religion and government separate, which we do through legal activities, legal complaints. And our second purpose is to educate the public about the views of non-believers, non-theists, atheists, agnostics.
And we're going to be talking with one of those persons who fills both categories. She's going to talk about what it's like to be a plaintiff in a state church case in a hostile community that is fighting that lawsuit. And we are going to be delighted to be joined by a Freedom from Religion Foundation plaintiff, a mother in Pennsylvania, who is part of one of our two new federal lawsuits challenging really egregious violations in public schools in Pennsylvania. These are large Ten Commandments monuments placed at high schools, and she'll be joining us on the second half of today's show. And she's told me she really feels very alone and isolated at this time of year.
Well, of course, that fits right in with a recent story. Annie Laurie, you know about the story that the IHAU did about international treatment of non-believers.
Yeah, and also talking about in North America. And Monday, you may have caught that there was a lot of news coverage of this big survey by the International Humanist and Ethical Union that shows that religious skeptics suffer persecution or discrimination in many parts of the world, including in North America, in that in at least seven nations, non-believers can be executed if their beliefs become known. And this was released on Monday. I'm going to read you part of a Reuters write-up about it. It showed that the non-believers in Islamic countries, of course, face the most severe treatment at the hands of the state. But it points to policies in some European countries and the United States that favor the religious and their organizations and treat atheists and humanists as outsiders. The report is called Freedom of Thought 2012, and it points out there are laws that deny atheists the right to exist, curtail their freedom of belief and expression, revoke their right to citizenship, restrict their right to marry, and others that obstruct access to public education, prohibit atheists from holding public office, prevent atheists from working for the state, criminalize criticism of religion, and even execute atheists, for example, for leaving the religion of their parents. And the United Nations, this is a special report submitted to the United Nations. It was welcomed by the Heiner Bielefeld, who is a rapporteur of on the issues of freedom of religion or belief. And he introduced it and said there's little awareness of this problem, but that according to the survey, in some 60 countries, there is this kind of persecution, and 7 where expression of atheist views or defection from official religion can bring capital punishment: in Afghanistan, Iran, Maldives, Mauritania, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Sudan. And in a range of other countries, Bangladesh, Egypt, Indonesia, Kuwait, Jordan, publication of atheist or humanist views on religion are totally banned or strictly limited under laws prohibiting blasphemy. And in many of these countries and others like Malaysia, citizens have to register as adherents of officially recognized religions, and there's only a small number, including Christianity, Judaism, and of course Islam, which is the state religion. And so atheists and humanists can't go to college unless they lie to obtain official documents so they can receive medical treatment, travel abroad, or even drive. In Europe, sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and North America, countries that identify as secular, there are often privileges that favor Christian churches or favor Christians in general. And they also point to the Orthodox Church's special place in Russia and in Greece, how the bishops of Britain are given automatic seats in the upper houses of parliament with the Church of England, and that although freedom of religion and speech is protected in the United States, the report said a social and political climate prevails in which atheists and the non-religious are made to feel like lesser Americans or non-Americans, and pointed out a fact that we do well know, that in 7 U.S. states, there are constitutional provisions in place that bar atheists from public office, and one state, Arkansas, which bars an atheist from testifying as a witness at a trial.
And later you're going to talk about a member of Congress who is an agnostic who had to keep his head down in the United States. And just in time to illustrate some of this persecution is a comment made by Matt Barber. He's part of the so-called Liberty Council, a religious right group, saying, well, listen to what he said on a recent Liberty Council Faith and Freedom program. This is
mentioned this is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's religious cleansing that they are engaging in here. You know, what do you do with a bully? If a bully keeps getting his way and intimidating kids on the playground and nobody stands up for themselves, then the bully is encouraged and emboldened and continues to bully more and more people. But when a little kid is being bullied and he turns around and punches the bully in the mouth, metaphorically speaking, of course, then the bully oftentimes is proven to be a paper tiger. Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is nothing but a giant paper tiger.
And I guess we need to be punched in the mouth. And, of course, our emails say a lot worse than that, the crank mail that comes in. But
he did say, metaphorically speaking, but why would he pick such a metaphor?
But, of course, the bullies on the playground are the religionists, the evangelists who are going into our schools, the Gideons distributing Bibles, the proselytizing teachers, you know, who don't honor personal conscience.
Well, you heard last year we reported on our victory in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, the borough in Pennsylvania. And those people came out in hundreds and hundreds, like big bullies with these big crosses to scream and chant for the nativity scene. We were successful in Elwood City, but there's a new development there. There's a guy in town, and it looks like the mayor is at least complicit, or at least going along with it. A guy in town who says, okay, we can't have the nativity scene on the city property. He found a way to get around that. Listen to this story. This is... WPXI News out of Pittsburgh.
New details on a display dispute that brought threats of a protest and a lawsuit last holiday season. Today, Elwood City may have found a new way to steer clear of the controversy.
Well, Peggy, I can tell you that the truck just rolled in. Here is the mobile nativity scene. It just showed up. Take a look behind me. All these people have showed up to take a look at this. If you can see right over here, the police have showed up because they are shutting down this road because there are so many people that have showed up to take a look. There's one guy behind all of this, a guy by the name of Mike, and he is here to make sure that this nativity stays put.
He's come up with a creative way to get around the rules. This is Mike Parisi and his mobile unit. He's carrying Christmas into Elwood City and parking it as close as he can to borough property.
I come into town and I seen what was going on, and I seen people coming into this town and trying to tell us we can and can't do this, and that's when I got passionate about it.
Religion, First Amendment, it's taken center stage here. An out-of-town atheist group watching, waiting to sue if and when the nativity set sets back up at the borough's municipal building.
It just goes to show you what our community's all about. Coming together for a worthy cause, and they're faithful. Like I said, I couldn't be more proud of this group.
Mike wants the mobile creche on the main street, and he's all about keeping it legal.
I'd rather die fighting for what I believe in than just standing back and watching.
The people here say that they won't quit. You can see the signs that they're holding, Elwood, the city, with the nativity. Mike says he is going to make sure that this stays put here. He will move it every 2 hours if he has to. And you can see that this does have the support of this community. Reporting live, Amy Marcinkiewicz, Channel 11 News.
That was the mayor endorsing him that you heard. And, of course, the people getting the death threats or horrible mail out of Pennsylvania are us, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we took this complaint on behalf of local residents who are very concerned because the mayor then made a statement that he was going to look the other way, and they're not enforcing the same rules that everyone else has, that you have to move every 2 hours. So we're looking into it, and Patrick Elliott, our attorney, has written a letter of complaint. And now, here's some good news.
Well, to celebrate the season up in Alaska, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has some new bus signs that have just gone up. Listen to a little bit of a story out of Anchorage, Alaska. This is KTVA 11.
Well, Christians like to say that Jesus is the reason for the season, but a group of atheists say no time of year should be free from what they call pagan reverie. To that end, Anchorage City buses are carrying some very non-traditional Christmas messages. The Freedom From Religion Foundation of Madison, Wisconsin has spent decades fighting for the secularization of America. The group has turned its attention to Anchorage because a member who lives here wanted to counter the religious theme in December. So 10 people mover buses are adorned with 4 different atheist messages.
Our kind member, and he helped to pay for this, would feel that he could even lose his job if he came out of the closet as an atheist.
Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the group, says she's trying to separate church and state and encourage rational thinking.
If you live your life under a delusion that you're going to have your real life when you're dead, what does that do to you in this life?
We live in the United States of America. You can believe anything you want to believe. And I wouldn't ever, go against that. I think, to me, I find them humorous and almost, as if they were tongue-in-cheek.
Reverend John Carpenter of Baxter Bible Church says he's not bothered by the campaign.
But I'm not offended when I see those signs, and those signs in particular are not very offensive. They're just, it's like, it's in-your-face atheism.
One people mover writer says he wishes the city had rejected the ads.
Well, freedom of speech, yeah, but freedom of advertisement, that's a different story. Advertisement is different than freedom of speech.
Meanwhile, the controversy rolls through the streets of Anchorage.
So we've gotten some members already this week. They just went up. There are 10 exterior ads on buses in Anchorage, and they say, imagine no religion, and they say, there is no live, oh, I'm sorry, I've forgotten. live now, there is no afterlife. There's a Santa saying, yes, Virginia, there is no God. So they're not meant to offend. They're meant to enlighten.
Even that minister was quoted saying he didn't think it was that offensive, although he disagreed with us. So
we're going to celebrate the solstice in segment 2 and listen to this very dramatic story of what it's like to be a state church plaintiff in the eye of the storm in Pennsylvania.
December the 15th, of course, is Bill of Rights Day, and December 16th is the birthday of Beethoven, the free-thinking composer who was thoroughly non-religious. He was born on December the 16th in 1770. Here's a tiny bit of Beethoven.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And as I said before, December the 15th is the Bill of Rights Day.
That's today.
And
the anniversary of the adoption of the Bill of Rights.
Yes, and our new chapter in the Chicago area is honoring and celebrating the Bill of Rights by protesting a nativity scene in Chicago.
In Niles, Illinois.
In Niles, Illinois, in the Chicago area, protesting a nativity scene with a banner of their own. It's the banner of the birth of the Bill of Rights. And it shows three founding fathers gazing down into this manger with the Bill of Rights in the manger.
Yeah, they're looking very adoringly. It's really a great idea, and we're going to go with that next year in more places. So congratulations, Tom Kara, and the chapter. Now, I want to just briefly mention Frank Bruni's wonderful column in the New York Times on December 10th, in case you missed it. It was called The God Glut. And in it, he points out that Bob Kerry, who was the governor of Nebraska and was a U.S. senator for 12 years, of course, a presidential candidate and vet, is an out agnostic. And Kerry was quoted in the article saying, "I think you have to be very careful about keeping religion and politics separate. Kerry never once uttered 'God bless America' at the end of one of his speeches." And Frank Bruni, the columnist, said, "We Americans aren't careful at all in a country that supposedly draws the line between church and state. We allow the former to intrude flagrantly on the latter." So it's a wonderful column. Google it, The God Glut. And now we want to celebrate the upcoming winter solstice with Dan taking a traditional Christmas carol music and putting new words on it, and it's called Solstice Tribute.
Oh, shining star of solstice time, your radiant hours are few. You turn and strike the new year's chime. We owe our lives to you. These darkest days of winter, we miss your warming rays. But every year this hemisphere returns to brighter days. Since olden days the human race has feared that your warmth would die. The evergreen is ever seen as hope that we will survive. Oh, ancient drums, stop beating, and superstitions fall. It's time for reason's greetings, for peace, goodwill to all.
We will read our traditional reading of the winter solstice. This is mostly the words of FFRF founder Anne Gaylor. We have it on our new non-tract about the winter solstice. For a fact, the Christians stole Christmas. We don't mind sharing the season with them, but we don't like their pretense that it is the birthday of Jesus. It is the birthday of the unconquered sun, Dies Natalis Invictus Solis. Christmas is a relic of sun worship. For all our major festivals, there were corresponding pagan festivals tied to natural events. We've been celebrating the winter solstice, this natural holiday, long before Christians crashed the party. For millennia, our ancestors in the Northern Hemisphere have greeted this seasonal event with festivals of light, gift exchanges, and seasonal gatherings. The winter solstice is the reason for the season. The winter solstice, occurring on December 21st this year, heralds the symbolic rebirth of the sun, the lengthening of days, and the natural new year. We non-believers are quite willing to share the fun parts of anybody's holidays. We just want to be spared the smelts, the superstition, and the state church entanglements. The customs of this time of year endure because they are pleasant customs. It's fun to hear from distant family and friends, to gather, to feast, to sing. Gifts, as freethinker Robert Greene Ingersoll once remarked, are evidences of friendship, of remembrance, of love. The evergreens displayed now as in centuries past flourish when all else seems dead and are symbols, as is the returning sun, of enduring life. In celebrating the winter solstice, we celebrate reality.
That's from the new non-tract, Heathen's Greetings. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking with a brave woman in a small town in Pennsylvania. She's complaining about the Ten Commandments at the public high school there. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we hope not someday, but today you will join us. And we're about to give you a really good reason why you should join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, because we are going to talk with one of the plaintiffs in one of our 9 ongoing lawsuits, which are paid for through the dues and donations of FFRF members. And it's quite a story. And we have on the phone with us, we have 2 lawsuits in Pennsylvania school districts right now suing over Ten Commandments monuments. They're 2 separate lawsuits, although they're in neighboring towns. And we have on the phone with us the one named plaintiff in these 2 lawsuits, a mother and an atheist, Marie Schaub. And she has a BA in applied psychology from Penn State. And she has been wonderful in representing the point of view of freethinkers and the offense that parents and students feel when they would discover something as egregious as a large Ten Commandments monument parked at the entrance of a public school. And so with that kind of introduction, you can tell us the rest of the story. We have Marie Schaub.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Marie, you have a child in the school district. Tell us, what does this look like? It's a big Ten Commandments monument. Where is it?
Oh, it is about a 6-foot-high stone monument. It's located right at the main entrance of the school at the end of a walkway bridge, and it's very prominent.
And which school is this?
It's the Valley High School in the New Kensington Arnold School District.
And where is New Kensington Arnold approximately?
It's approximately 15 to 20 minutes away from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And then we have, this is one of our lawsuits, and then there's a neighboring community, Connellsville, where there is the exact kind of monument at the entrance of a middle school. So
right.
There's 2 cases and 2 different sets of plaintiffs. And Marie, you are very brave because you came forward to be named in this lawsuit. And then there are pseudonyms for the other plaintiffs in this case, which include one of your children.
Yes, that is correct.
And we filed this case in the fall. Why don't you tell us, why you became a part of the lawsuit?
Well, I became a part of the lawsuit mainly because I felt like being a part of the community set me apart in not believing the mainstream belief, which is basically Christian. And I felt that it was necessary to let the other people know that there are other people in our community that have separate beliefs than what they might necessarily subscribe to. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was represented equally and stand up for those who might be a little bit apprehensive to say, hey, listen, we're a part of this community too, and we deserve respect just as much as everyone else.
Now, as a parent, how do you feel about the fact that you know that your child is going to be going to this high school and encountering this endorsement of the Bible and Bible edicts?
I'm a little bit embarrassed to say that we are a part of a school district that doesn't abide by the Constitution. So kind of very surprising to think that people would blatantly break the law like this. And from a parental perspective, I feel like my rights have been violated because it is my choice as to what I raise my children to believe. And this seems to be overstepping their boundaries by endorsing a belief that my family doesn't necessarily adhere to.
So you say it's at the entrance of the school. It's actually on school property and the students can't avoid it as they're walking into the building. Is that right?
No, I'm sure that they could take a back door to the school and avoid the monument, but I don't see why anybody should have to use the back door just to have a clear conscience about what, you know, they've been raised to believe or not to believe.
Well, so, it's very prominent. We've had pictures of it in our newspaper. We've seen the pictures. We have them online.
It's one of those big Eagles monuments, right? They're on state capitals, and one of them that we got taken down from the city hall in Milwaukee, it went up in the 1950s in celebration of that Ten Commandments movie, and they're pretty garish. They start with, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me."
Oh, yes. Those are the specific parts of the monument that I would take offense to, because, you know, not everybody subscribes to a monotheistic sort of religion, and if the first headline of the monument and maybe the first three commandments were not on there, then I could probably consider it a secular sort of object. But just because of the heading and then the first three commandments.
Yeah, the first four commandments are explicitly religious in nature. And the first commandment alone, any public official, any school administrator ought to understand they have no business telling a student how many gods to have or which god to have or whether to have any god at all. This is the antithesis of our First Amendment. So that is so egregious. Now, Marie, you sent me an email and you told me, and I hope you don't mind my revealing this, you said, "This time of year makes me feel marginalized and like a second class citizen." Why don't you tell us what is going on? Your community has been in a sort of religious revival mode or uproar since this lawsuit was filed.
The way it makes me feel, I kind of feel a little bit sorry for those in our community because they don't quite understand what the law says. So, again, I'm a little embarrassed because it's quite obvious that the First Commandment and the First Amendment directly contradict each other. So I think that maybe they would need a little bit more education to quite get the grasp of what they're talking about here. But people have asked me, "Oh, you know, well, I heard your neighbors have the Ten Commandments plaque over in their yard now. What do you have to say about that? Or, you know, why don't you go over to your neighbor's yard and rip down their Ten Commandments?" Just to, they're being spiteful towards me. And I say to them, "You know what? Their yard is on private property. There's no way I would disrespect anyone or break the law by going to my neighbor's house to rip down their Ten Commandments plywood, you know, copy or whatever." So whenever people ask me questions like that, I'm like, this is a public school. I expect to, you know, everybody to be represented equally. And if everybody is not represented, then nobody should be represented.
Now, what started happening, I think, in the early fall, there's been two rallies, but one of them was called Save Our Stone Rally in New Kensington. And it was organized by a fellow who I noticed is telling the newspapers that we're a Christian nation. And then his rally has led to this mass distribution of these lawn signs. And what do the lawn signs say?
The lawn signs are a form of the Ten Commandments. It's not the Catholic one where it says there will be no graven images. So their lawn signs contradict the monument that they're in support of. But I don't know if they even recognize that. They're mainly blinded by faith. So yes, this man, he also had a quote in the paper, something along the lines of, you know, next they're going to lock up all of our churches, and, you know, then where will we be? This is a Christian nation. And, again, it just makes me feel like, you know, not only do they not have any education in the law, they also don't really know what our American history was all about in coming to this country to have freedom of and from religion, because to have freedom of a religion, you first have to be free from other religions.
Now, so, before we talk about a big development in the case, which is very helpful, could you describe for our listeners this the growing movement is acting, this religious hysteria, and how you felt? You were telling me about this Christmas parade and what you saw there.
Yes, they seem to have gotten very passionate about expressing their religious opinion. So they've taken it upon themselves to kind of interject their stance in any sort of activity that they can, which, you know, the last one was the Christmas parade, where they recruited several children from the community to basically drag around each commandment in a wheelbarrow type sort of...
Little red wagons, weren't they?
A wagon, yeah. The first lead truck apparently said it's freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, and it had Moses riding in the back. And then as the children walked by in the parade, they each had their own display of the individual commandments in the red wagons that they toted behind them. So it was quite sad to see that the children were being used in this way, since they're obviously not of an age to make those kind of decisions themselves.
But maybe Santa Claus is really Moses, the big white beard, the old man. Right. So,
well, not a very nice Santa. No.
Well, at least Santa Claus would not damn you to hell for not believing in him.
No, we are running out of time in this segment, but I do want to say anybody who wants to see the picture of this Christmas parade, ask for a sample copy of the upcoming Free Thought Today if you're not already a member. And we have a story and we have this photo, and it really is pathetic.
And when we come back, I want to talk about, I'm reading some of these horrible comments and letters and death threats. So we're going to talk more about that after we get come back from the break. A little more of Beethoven here. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're talking with a state church plaintiff, Marie Schaub. Stay tuned.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we've been talking with a very brave plaintiff in a Freedom From Religion Foundation lawsuit, one of two lawsuits in Pennsylvania challenging Ten Commandments monuments on public school property. Her name is Marie Schaub. And we just had a development in the case just early this month. The Freedom From Religion Foundation's motion to allow pseudonyms for several of the plaintiffs in the New Kensington challenge was granted, and this is because of the climate of hostility there. We submitted as evidence comments from Facebook posts, from website comments, email and letters to the editor, and I can't actually read every word that's on some of these things. I'll have to say bleep in a couple of places. Maybe we should get that lady's phone number who is participant in the lawsuit and have everybody call her and give her our opinion. Another said, I'm sure if we look up the bleep, she probably has a Facebook account or page for her ridiculous group, and we can slam the bleep out of the bleep. Another one said, these people need drug onto the street and shot.
Need to be is what they meant, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really horrible and alarming, and... Well, Dan, you didn't read the one that said someone needs to send that group back to Wisconsin with several black eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, the hostility, because we're not saying sandblast that Ten Commandments monument. We're not saying go into the churches and destroy religious symbols. we're saying that that Ten Commandments monument needs to be moved off of school property. So how does that make you feel, Marie, when you know all of this is out there?
Well, it's good to know that people feel that way so that you can be, defensive whenever it comes to watching out for these type of people. But it's surprising to me, since they preach, the word of peace, supposedly, yet in the same breath, they make physical threats towards non-believers.
And they obviously view you and your friends who are joining in the lawsuit as outsiders, really. They talk about some outside Wisconsin group that we need to send. And they know that you are a local resident with standing in that community, that they still think of you as an outsider.
Yes, it's very concerning that they think that just because they're the majority, that the minorities in our community don't have a voice. And I think their point is to try to push us down or push us out of the community. I've seen people say that they're willing to take up a collection in order to move my family out of the school district. But, I mean, fortunately, I'm obviously not the only person in the community that feels this way. So it's really sad to see them bully the minority, because it only makes it harder for us to stand up and speak out against the majority.
Well, and Marie, we should say that I think that you felt that you'd already made public comments about the Ten Commandments. You were going to be identified, and you're being very courageous in using your name and everything, but not identifying your child. And then there's another parent who is not identified, who has a child in the school district. And Doe 3, who's the parent who's not identified, said that the continued anonymity of my child and me is important, because I fear that if our involvement were made public, both my child and I would experience social ostracism, harassment, or threats from the community. And of course, you've already had these threats. And the federal judge in the case agreed with us when we put this into evidence. And we should also thank our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, who's helped a lot with this lawsuit. But I think it's very interesting that although the school did not contest the request for the pseudonyms, the attorneys opposed putting this evidence into the record. And I think you probably know that. The judge let us put this evidence in, but they wanted to keep this out. And I think that tells a lot about the school district, that they would suppress threats and harassment.
So what's wrong?
The hush-hush sort of situation in the community whenever it comes to, them being viewed as being in a bad light.
And there's one other thing I just want to get into the record, which is that the school board president, Bob Pallone, made pro-monument comments on a Facebook page. And there's a Facebook page, Keep the Ten Commandments at Valley High School. And it's been liked by 1,200 people, including several school board members. And the page itself was created by New Kensington Controller John Zavadek. So we have all these public officials arrayed against you, Marie, and the other plaintiffs in defending Bible edicts at a high school. So it's really very concerning that we had to go to court at all. You probably feel the same way.
Yes, it's scary to know that the people who are actually put in charge of enforcing the laws are using their power to promote a religious message that is completely inappropriate at a public school.
Now, they have been told that this is unconstitutional. The Supreme Court has ruled, well, in the Ten Commandments in public high schools, in the Stone versus Graham case.
Great school there.
That the Ten Commandments are undeniably a religious, sacred religious text. They have no place in a public school setting like that. So they're flying in the face of clear Supreme Court precedent here.
Yes, I think they're pandering to the voters as well. You know, if you hold a spot on the school board or anything like that, then you rely on your community's votes to put you in the position that you're in. So whether or not they have a clear conscience of, their personal beliefs, it still goes to say that they're obviously just going to go along with whatever their voters or the majority of the voters in the area would go along with.
But, you know, when we look at the news reports out of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and there's been a lot of coverage and the TV coverage, it almost is something that is equivalent to what usually happens in the Deep South. I have been very shocked at this kind of reaction out of Pennsylvania.
Well, it could be worse. I could be involved in the Connellsville case, which apparently those supporters seem a lot more passionate than the supporters over here in New Kensington, which if I lived in that environment, then I probably would have tried to proceed as a Doe, and, you know, I wouldn't feel as open to, you know, expressing my opinion as much as I am over here. So I think it's just the environment that you're in will dictate what sort of expression you're allowed to have. And unfortunately, you would think that in this day and age, you would feel safe enough to say, hey, that's not what I believe, you know. So it's concerning, but it could be worse.
Well, you know, you'd think we were the lawbreakers and we're the people defending the Constitution. What's wrong with this picture?
And what's wrong with Pennsylvania? I didn't know the Bible Belt went that far north.
Well, we're out of time, and we want to thank you so deeply, Marie, for speaking up for the rights of children to be free from, you know, religious proselytizing in our public schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we want to thank our engineer, Dave McCann, for producing the show. It's recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffr.org/radio for archives and join the foundation and help us continue with more lawsuits to keep religion and government separate.
You can ask for more information at ffrf.org. You can join. It's very easy going to ffrf.org and they just donate and become a member. And you will be supporting this litigation. We do not have pro bono help in this. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday